And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Athletic Baseball Show for Monday, June 26th. This is On Deck. I'm Stephen Nesbitt, and I'm here with Levi Weaver. Levi, how was your weekend?
It was good. I saw the Pixies. I saw Franz Ferdinand open for the Pixies. It was a good weekend. On the show, we are going to talk about football scores in baseball. We are going to preview our top series of the week, as we always do. We're going to make our homer chase weeks, and Steven is going to tell us about teeth, 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 teeth.
Well, anyway, back to the baseball talk. So there was a point Saturday night, Levi, where the world sort of took attention to what was happening at Coors Field, which happens, you know, a couple times a year. We all start to hear rumblings of something special happening in Denver, something absurd. And something truly was absurd was afoot. And we all knew it when David Fletcher hit a three-run bomb. And that was a telltale that we should probably take a look at this box score, because it was, at that time, it was game two of a Angels-Rockies series at Coors. And that Fletcher homer had made it 23-0 in the fourth inning. And that's sort of when we all got quickly on our screenshot, you know, speed wagons, and tweeted it out and had our jokes about football scores or something like that. That game turns out to be one of the highlights of the season so far for me because of the absurdity of it. Not only could you like go to bed after the halfway, you didn't really want to go to bed because you were hoping they would extend it to 30 plus. It only gets to 25-1. So I guess it's not really a football score unless you're just handing out an extra point for no good reason. But wow, that game was special.
Yeah, David Fletcher, who talked to Sam Blum, not 24 hours before, and basically said, like, I'm not even sure the Angels want me. And now our story has this, like, edited. He was called up right after this. He went 4-for-6. I don't want to talk about Shohei Ohtani's game. I'm sure we will have to later. But yeah, it was like I was sitting there at the show, actually at the Pixie show, and I just, you know, I don't like to admit that I'll check baseball scores during a show, but sometimes, you know, it's a song I don't know that well. My back hurts because I've been standing for 3 hours. I'm like, let's see what's going on in baseball. And I was like, oh man, MLB at bat made a mistake. There's no way it's 23-0. And then I look a little deeper and I'm like, holy crap, it's 23-0. And the wildest part of all of this for me, not only was it like a reverse tungsten where Ohtani was 1-for-7 and the rest of the Angels actually, you know, destroyed the Rockies, but for the first time, this is per Sarah Langs, I don't want to pretend that I did the research on this, for the first time since 1897, a team had a plus 20 run differential in a series and lost the series because the Rockies won the other two games of the series. So, hashtag Angels.
You mentioned Ohtani with the one-hit game, 1-for-7. Every other player in that lineup who started the game had multiple hits. Taylor Ward, 2 hits and a walk. Mike Trout, 3 hits and a walk. Brandon Drury, 3 hits. Matt Tice, 3 hits and a walk. Hunter Renfro, 5 hits and a walk. Eduardo Escobar, new face over there, 2 hits and a walk. Mickey Moniak, 5 hits. David Fletcher, 4 hits. That's like a week of games for Luis Arias right there. That's just a game log. Then we're lining that up 1-9 for the Angels in the sandwich game of a series that they lose. That ends up could be kind of low scoring in the other two.
And then, literally 8 minutes after the last pitch, Robert Murray of FanSided breaks. By the way, the Angels have traded for Mike Moustakas of the Rockies, and of course the jokes on Twitter were exquisite because it's you know, he defected, he escaped. It was a, you know, hey, winner, if we beat you by 20, we get Moustakas. Like, can you imagine just the, I don't know, psychological feels like too heavy a word, but it is probably psychological what I'm talking about. Like, you are on a team, and that team is the Rockies, first of all. Let's just start there. Then your team gets beat 25-1, and you come back in the clubhouse, and somebody just stops. He's like, hey, man, before you go in, we need to talk. You've been traded.
Congrats on the win.
To whom? Those guys. Head over that way tomorrow. Can you, like, the next day, did he just walk in and be like, hey guys, great win for us last night, right? Like, what, how do you?
It's not even that. It's, he walked in that night. He walked out of the home clubhouse. He walks into the visiting and just like sits down like, yeah, this feels better. Yeah, this is nice.
We did it. Best win of our lives, guys.
Turns the music up a little bit louder.
Yeah.
There we go, exactly. Guys.
What a weird night. So it's time to talk about our top series of the week. This week, we're going to look at the Diamondbacks and Rays, two first-place teams facing off. These teams are both, 6-5 in their last 11 games. MLB At-Bat app has the thing where you can look at the last 10. They were both 5-5, and they both won on Sunday, which is when we're recording this. I got to say that for the first time all year, the Rays have looked, I don't want to say they've looked bad. They haven't looked bad. You know, 6-5 in your last 11, you're winning baseball games. But they lost a couple of games to the A's. They lost a game to the Royals. They have been at least vincible in the last little while. And in the midst of all of this, you got Juan DeFranco, who's having a phenomenal year. He is the top position player in WAR, if you don't count Shohei Ohtani, who's a two-way player. He got benched, and his manager was pretty open about why. It was like, he needs to be a better teammate. He needs to handle his frustrations better. Like, you don't generally hear managers say that about players, much less the best player on the team. You know, that's a little concerning. He takes 2 days off, and of course, his first at-bat back, he hits a home run. So maybe everything's fine. But it's at least to the point now where it's worth kind of keeping an eye on, like, are there cracks in the exterior? Is the engine starting to make some thumping sounds? Meanwhile, the best player on the Diamondbacks, Corbin Carroll, is just continuing to go absolutely sicko wild nuts. You know, as Ken Rosenthal wrote, I think, last week, like, he, not only is he the favorite for the NL Rookie of the Year, he's starting to maybe try to gain a little traction for MVP as well. I still think Ronald Acuña Jr. holds him off. You're the best player on the Braves and are doing the things that Acuña's doing. You probably still have the nod, but it's still late June. So it's been fun to watch the Diamondbacks.
Yeah. So my next assignment after this Sunday night is I write the weekly power rankings. And this is truly the first time since week two that I've debated pretty strongly not having the Rays won. So they still have four games in the win column on the Braves, who are right behind them. They're tied in the loss column. But just the way they have trended lately is just, I mean, you're going to cool off. That's how this season works. It's 162 games, and we're halfway through them this week. But it's with the mounting losses, and it was a little bit with Wander Franco. It was, I mean, losses of like personnel. Guys getting injured. Shane McClanahan, we don't know if he's going to be back for his next start. It looks like he will be, but this is a guy who had some shoulder issues last year. And if he misses any time, you're looking at 3/5 of their opening day rotation on the injured list if he goes there. And so, yes, good to get Wander Franco back. Not great to split with the Royals. That's a series you wanted to take three at least of. But this is a part of the season where if you needed to address something, not the worst time to do it, rather than doing it down the stretch when you've gotten someone's caught up to you, whether that's the Orioles or Yanks or Blue Jays, pretty good time to do it. So a lot of it for them is health, and can they maintain this overperformance that they've had from a good chunk of their lineup so far? They have the depth to be a really, really good team, a really dangerous team, of course, but are they going to be the runaway favorite all year? I think we're starting to see that the pack is catching up to them. To the point you made about the D-backs, Corbin Carroll is sicko mode. Yeah, he's getting all the attention, and rightfully so, but don't ignore what the D-backs have gotten, the level of production they've gotten from Ketel Marte, Christian Walker, even Lourdes Gurriel Jr. This is a young team that needed to click on a lot of things to be contenders this year, and so far they're clicking. As we look to this series, Levi, pitching matchup's pretty interesting one. It's going to go Taj Bradley, Zach Gallen in game one. That's a great matchup. Be locked in for that one. Zach Eflin against Tommy Henry in the second. And the third one is going to be Shane McClanahan against Zach Davies. Of course, large asterisk there. McClanahan could get bumped. If it goes that way, I say advantage Rays in this series. I see them taking two of these, but a lot of that depends. Is the ace on the bump in the finale? And if he's not, you know, Arizona could certainly keep plugging away. They are good enough to expose any weaknesses as a lineup.
Who's the bigger surprise to you? And I don't mean like that the Rays are good. I think we all sort of expected them to figure out a way to be good. But is the bigger surprise that the Rays are this good, or that the Diamondbacks are as good as they are? I think it might be the Diamondbacks.
asked me 2 weeks ago and it was still the Rays. At this point, I think it's the Diamondbacks holding off the caliber of opponents they have in the NL West. You can say the same about the AL East, but they have not yet had that point where they race out into the lead and then have really backslid back into the peloton here. And so the Rays, yeah, they give you some reasons for concern. And so the Diamondbacks still have needs. They got to go out there and probably figure something out with the rotation. They have a lot of these younger arms who are going to be good eventually, I think, but maybe aren't ready yet to be your number three. So maybe they have to get an arm so that you're not putting Tommy Henry and Zach Davies out there every couple of days. But I like the way they're shaping up for the future years, of course. And I think it is a big surprise the way that they have started to really get a handle of the NL West. That's going to be, I think, a great competition the rest of the way.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
My series this week is the Reds against the Orioles. We've got the exciting Ellie De La Cruz, of course, who is hitting as at time of recording. Last I checked, he's hitting 359, 423, 641. That's a 1063 OPS. Meanwhile, you've got like his baseball uncle, Joey Votto, who is hitting 294, 400, 824. That's a 1224 OPS. I cannot imagine a more fun team to watch right now. And I know the 12-game winning streak got snapped, whatever. Like, but having just those two guys on the same team is enough reason to watch. That they also have another like bunch of guys who are good and young and fun and that they're winning games. I don't think there's a more fun team in baseball right now than the Reds. Meanwhile, though, the Orioles also pretty fun to watch. Adley Rutschman is always going to be one of those guys that is worth getting your attention. I just said I love the Rays. I just said it, so just let that. There's no but here. I love watching the Reds. There's no buts. In addition to them being fun, there are reasons to believe that maybe there was a little flukiness to the 12-game winning streak. When you look at you stack up teams in June, yes, the Reds scored the third most runs in baseball in June. They're doing great. They have by far the most stolen bases in June. They've got 41. The next team is Houston with 27. So give them credit for that. However, batting average, just 12th best. Their slugging is fourth, so that's good. Their OPS is fourth. Like they've been hitting the ball. They're pitching, they have a 5 ERA for June. That's 25th in the league. Their pitching has not been great. They're 27th in runs allowed, 29th in home runs allowed. Oh, sorry, 27th in home runs allowed, 26th in walks, and 21st in strikeouts. They are basically just outscoring the opponents, and we know and love a good hot streak, but you got to get the pitching together if that is going to be sustainable. So if you're the Reds, that's probably what you're looking to add at the deadline. And hey, we're talking about the Reds adding at the deadline. Phenomenal. But there's reason to believe that like they're going to need to do that if they want to extend this fun into October.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned all that, it just strikes me how much really, really just the call-up of Ellie De La Cruz has changed the complexion of that lineup with what he brings with power and speed, that combination, to be like the most steals in the league, like you said, which is a stat dominated by the Rays for most of the season. What they have done there, adding the speed, adding the power, getting back Joey Votto, who's been good with a healthy shoulder, it seems. So that's absolutely a team to watch in a weak division. If they can keep tinkering, keep adding, that's a scariest team on the stretch.
One last thing on the flip side of that, Baltimore calling up Jordan Westberg, their infielder. I'm not entirely sure where he's going to play. That's a fairly stacked infield in Baltimore.
My guess is that Adam Frazier gets bumped.
Right.
He's been the weak link, and so I think wherever he's been plugging in, I think you bring in Westberg. That would be my guess.
That makes the most sense.
My series of the week, we're going to go Florida LSU. No, we're not actually going. That's going to be an incredible deciding game three Monday in Omaha between LSU and Florida. But really, my series of the week is Miami against the Boston Red Sox at Fenway. So Miami, we are a pro fish pod. Everyone knows it. Just took three of four, actually, from the Pirates. They are 11 games over 500. Yuri Perez was a stud again on Sunday. Stretched a scoreless streak to 21 games. He's got a 1.34 ERA. Innings. He's got a 1.34 ERA. He's 20 years old. This guy's been fantastic, and especially at a time when they aren't getting Cy Young stuff from Sandy Alcantara, who's still figuring things out, doesn't have some of the tools in the bag that he had in the past with a shift and things like that, and a no pitch clock. But you pair that happening on the pitching side with Luis Arraez batting 400, 399 to be exact. Things are really working there. But this is an important series, I think. You go to Fenway against a team that is sitting at the bottom of the AL East, but can still do a lot of damage. Has a middle of the order that I think is still pretty formidable in Justin Turner, Masataka Yoshida, Rafi Devers, Tristan Casas. That's a solid heart of the order there. And what worries me on the Red Sox front, as they are sitting a game over 500, they just lost 2 of 3 to the White Sox, is that rotation right now. It looks like James Paxton, Cutter Crawford, Garrett Whitlock, and Brian Bello, who's been really good since the start of the year. But Tanner Houck got hit in the face. He's got a facial fracture. Don't know when he's going to be back. I don't know that we're ever going to feel really good about what the Red Sox have going in the rotation. So this series, it looks like Sandy Alcantara against Garrett Whitlock in game one, Braxton Garrett against TBD in game two, and Jesus Luzardo against Brian Bello in game three. So it should be a good one. But again, it feels like we're just waiting for the Marlins to stumble a little bit, and they just haven't done that. They continue to put the pressure on the Braves, who have been fantastic as well.
And it's not just Yuri Perez, who has been phenomenal, but Braxton Garrett, you mentioned his last outing. He struck out 13. He didn't walk anybody, gave up one earned run, 2 runs total in 7 innings. Brian Hoeing has been pretty great. Stephen Ogert has been, like, all these guys you don't really hear a lot about in the national media, but then you start looking up and down their pitching stat line, and you're like, they've got some guys. If Alcantara can finally just regain even like 80% of the mastery that he had last year, it's almost the opposite of the Reds, that they have the pitching to go out and win a lot of 1-0, 2-1 games.
All right, Levi, you know what time it is. It is the time in the show when we head to the On Deck Arcade. We have a couple things to catch up on. First of all, every weekend we have the arms race. We pick a starting pitcher that goes over the weekend. We go head-to-head, and this, to mince no words, has been dominated by Levi Weaver. I'm 0-6 in this exercise, and let's check out what happened this weekend. Yusei Kikuchi you picked. And Yusei Kikuchi dealt against the Athletics on Sunday. 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 run that was earned on a home run, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts. That's a fantastic line. We don't have the game score 2.0 to really get the final answer here. But actually, it turns out by the time he delivered his first pitch, he'd already won. Michael Wacha had his start skipped as he is dealing with some shoulder fatigue. So my pick did not play. And as we said, as long as you write your name on the paper, you get 40, game score 2.0. He couldn't even get that far. So continues to be a drubbing, 7-0 for Levi. So that's where we are.
And that's the only game we're playing. That's all the time we've got for.
And moving on quickly to the homer chase. This is our cumulative game. We pick one hitter each week, and we get all their homers for the week. Add them to our cumulative total. I had Nolan Jones. I was picking on a guy going to with the Rockies to Cincinnati for a series, and then Colorado. Was not someone who got in on that party for the 25-1 game. He was on the wrong side of that one, unfortunately. But he did get a homer in Cincinnati, too. I got one. Shohei Ohtani also did not get on the party. I'm so sorry. That must have been brutal for you at the show to see that Shohei had not homered.
How is it that he's the one guy? They were handing out home runs like sell shirts in Oakland, and he was just like, nah, no thanks, not me. I'm good.
He picked up one at the start of the week, so we each got one. I maintained a 5-homer lead, 12-7, as we round the corner to this next week. So, better luck next week. The better luck this week for you, Levi. Tell me, who is your pick for the homer chase?
I'm sticking with the Coors Field boost and a very hot hitter. He actually hit a home run today, which is yesterday for listeners, Mookie Betts of the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm counting on him to catch me up a little bit this week.
So I have 3 hitters, and they're all Dodgers hitters. So Mookie was number 1. I will take number 2 for me. Debating, actually, because they're going at Rockies and at Royals. Pretty good two-step right there. I'm going to go Freddie Freeman. I was considering J.D. Martinez. He might be the better homer. He'll give you the better homer rate, but won't give me as many plate appearances probably. So that's the way we'll go. Hey, time for us to hit the exits here. Thank you for listening. Thanks to producer Brian for hanging out with us on a Sunday night here. You can find all our work all week long at theathletic.com. Subscribe to The Athletic for $1 per month for the first year at theathletic.com/baseballshow during our summer sale. Sign up for The Windup, The Athletic's daily baseball newsletter with Levi and Ken Rosenthal for absolutely free. Coming up next in your feed, Starkville. Jason Stark and Doug Glanville welcome Jeff Fletcher and Mark Gubiza for a debate on whether or not the Angels should trade Shohei Ohtani. Give us a follow on Twitter. Levi is at 32EFIS and I'm at Stephen J. Nesbitt. The two of us will be back on Thursday with more of What's On Deck.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.